For 39 years, a Prairie Home Companion has been a beloved staple of the public radio airwaves. Host Garrison Keillor combines music with skits, comedy, and storytelling for an old-time radio show that makes even city people feel nostalgic for small-town life. The Prairie Home Companion Radio Romance Tour is coming to Wharton Center on August 4th. Current State's Melissa Benmark caught up with Garrison Keillor by phone recently to talk about the show and what's romantic about radio.
Well, the show comes from the radio, from a Prairie Home Companion. We do a little bit of Guy Noir. We do some of the Lives of the Cowboys, the news from Lake Wobegon. And the romance, I guess, refers to, to radio. I think radio is a romantic medium that allows you to form close personal relationships with people you've never met, and something romantic about that, about the idea of doing a broadcast and truck drivers listening to you and people in prison and people on charter fishing boats off the coast of Alaska and people listening on the internet in Malaysia and the Norwegian North Pole. But the romance also refers to the fact that I get to sing duets on the show, which is my favorite thing to do on stage, is to stand next to a woman who is slightly shorter than me and sing about love.
In terms of radio magic to your own ears, you know, since you've been that for so many people who listen to you, if there was one thing that could come out of your radio, past or present or at any time, what would you love to hear maybe again or for the first time?
I've always loved to hear somebody talking to me who seemed to be thinking about one listener, and I could imagine that it was me. It happened when I was a kid, and we used to listen to these friendly, avuncular morning announcers telling jokes and doing the weather and doing commercials. Arthur Godfrey on radio when I was a kid, when I stayed home sick from school, and I could listen to Arthur Godfrey time for Lipton Tea, and Bob and Ray and all the others over the years.
I've been in radio now about 25 years, public radio. You've been in a fair bit longer than that. And with all the ups and downs and changes, and yet there's still that thing that keeps you coming back to doing radio. Do you ever feel like in some ways that you have a certain kind of a marriage to the show, to the medium even?
Well, I don't. I've had an up and down relationship with it. I always considered myself to be a writer. And that's where my ambition lay, and I got into radio as a way of earning a living, and then, you know, I got intrigued by it. But I also kind of resisted being fully drawn into it. It's just a battle I've been waging all my life between this very seductive medium and the difficult medium for me, of the blank page or the blank screen. And I go back and forth and back and forth, and it just never will be ever resolved.
I was going to ask you what you felt were the rewards and maybe irritations is too strong of a word, but the pluses and the minuses of doing radio and doing writing and loving both of them.
Well, everything I do on the radio is something based on writing. I write the show, and so it's a very writerly sort of a show. It's not particularly improvised. I'm not that fond of improv. I've maybe sat through too much of it. So I'm drawn to the fact that there is this audience out there, and one is not aware of them. The same is true in publishing, of course. People are attracted for reasons you cannot predict to things that you do, and they make of those things you do something that you may not have intended. And to me, that's very mysterious and very engaging, and I'm curious about it.
You did a lovely movie a few years ago, and the thing I think I liked best about it was that it really kind of captured the magic of doing that weekly show. Any other movie plans in the future, or do you think you're pretty much doing radio and writing for now?
Well, I've been working on a screenplay, which is set in Lake Wobegon, and it's taken me a while to shape this thing up, but I have hopes for it. I had originally planned to make this a movie set in winter in Minnesota, and I tried to present it to Bob Altman, and he had no interest whatsoever in shooting a picture in Minnesota in the winter, and so we switched to the movie that we did make, Prairie Home Companion, which is set almost entirely in the Fitzgerald Theater in St. Paul and was shot in the summertime. But I still have vagrant thoughts about making this movie. I have no sense of urgency about it, I'm afraid. And so maybe time will run out. And if it does, that's quite all right. I have other things to do.
Well, maybe you should talk to the Coen brothers. They're not afraid of shooting in Midwest winters, you know, Fargo, and I think that would be a gorgeous thing to shoot in Minnesota in the winter.
Well, the Coen brothers have their own ideas, of course, and one of them is a writer, so I'm not sure they need another writer to collaborate with. They haven't so far.
So you're doing live shows, it looks like, close to every day this summer, literally across the country. I mean, it's like rock star touring. How do you keep your energy up? What keeps you going?
It's a very easy tour, really, and I'm working with people I've known for a long time, and really wonderful people, easy to work with. And the show sort of gently evolves from night to night, but the workload is really light. We have a terrific crew who do all the heavy lifting, and you know, we just show up and sing and tell stories. I can't imagine an easier way to spend the summer.
It looks like your last day is up in Interlaken, which
yeah.
is where my parents met and fell in love, as a matter of fact.
Wonderful.
And I'm wondering if you'll get a chance to enjoy a little bit of northern Michigan after you're done.
Well, I think we probably leave on the bus that same night, because the next day is my birthday, so I'm expected back in St. Paul. Not that I believe in birthdays anymore, but my wife and daughter are expecting me home by late afternoon.
In time to give you birthday cake, yes?
Yeah.
These days, it looks like you spend a lot of your time in the city, and yet you're associated with, you know, arguably the most loved small imaginary town in America. Do you miss small town life at all?
I have to say no, I don't really. To me, Lake Wobegon is a literary creation, you know, in a long line of small town creations, invented towns. You know, going back to Winesburg, Ohio, and Grover's Corners. And I think about it a lot, but I don't really miss it. I love big cities, and I just can't tell a lie about that. I love to be in crowds. I love trains. I like movies and shows, and you don't find those in Lake Wobegon.
What do you think is the most extraordinary thing that a listener or a reader has said to you, that you'd be willing to share, of course, about about what your writing or your radio show has meant to them.
Well, people identify with the characters in Lake Wobegon to varying degrees, but I think what surprised and pleased me was hearing from people who used tapes of the Lake Wobegon monologues to calm their children down on long car trips, and sometimes put them to sleep, and kids getting restless in the back seat of a car could listen to this voice telling stories, and it would settle them down somehow. It wasn't what I intended, you know, when I started out doing the show, but you learn to accept, you know, whatever benefit it brings to people.
Well, and you're quoted as saying nothing that you do for children is ever wasted, so.
Well, I hope it's true. I can only hope that it's true.
Mr. Kuehler, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, dear.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.
You called me.